Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 104, episode 3 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and a deep sip of America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries, as in the Coke brothers, and fuck Fox News.
Fuck you too.
It's Wednesday, October 16th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Jack to the OB. I used to drink Mountain Dew by the OZ. Hey! Even back at Cracked, you could call me CEO of the TDZO. Yeah, courtesy of Freddie Bidet at Flush Culture.
Just Kendall plays. Roy here.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Slichter Wooten, a.k.a. Bong Paul Jones, a.k.a. Jocko Pastobluntorius, a.k.a. Getty E.D., a.k.a. Budsy Collins, a.k.a. John Blow the Ent Whistle, a.k.a. Not-So-Harry Grant. Oh, and those are fantastic bass players. Actually, some of my favorite bass players. Getty Lee, love him. Bootsy Collins, love him.
Oh,
John Entwistle, great. John Paul Jones, Larry Graham.
John Paul Jones was the name of that dude from The
Bachelor. No, he is the bass player from Led Zeppelin.
My bad.
And Victor Wooten, also a very talented bass player. Thank you to Freddie Bidet.
Oh, shit. Look at you, Freddie Bidet.
Just did the exact.
Coming in strong.
Flush Culture in the building.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented host of the amazing podcast Couples Therapy.
Critically acclaimed.
And live show. Critically acclaimed. He is Mr. Andy Beckerman.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Andy.
Welcome.
Hey, can we mulligan? Can we do that again? I started off high.
Nope. What did you think? In your mind, what were you doing?
I was about to do a voice, and then my brain was like, no, don't. That's
right.
Not a good way to start off a podcast.
We will redo this if you come in fully committed to the voice you wanted to do.
There was it was all improv. It was whatever.
Oh, great.
How do you change wherever my gullet landed?
My uvula or whatever.
Yeah. That's where it was going to go. But high voice, no, not a,
Well, look.
Not a great start.
It's all about
everyone.
We're thrilled to have you.
And great introduction.
That's what's important.
Andy, we're thrilled with the start.
How many episodes is this later from my last appearance?
Probably 5 billion. Who knows? I don't even know.
5 billion miles.
How many episodes have we ever done?
Don't be a fibber.
You've done
man.
Zero episodes.
Yeah,
but you've done...
we've done a few Muppisodes, though.
Right.
We had to can those.
Yeah.
That would be great
Oscar
if you guys did.
We just had Muppets in studio, but didn't take video of it. It was just for our own purposes.
Yeah. Can I pitch you something?
Yeah.
You guys get Jim Henson Studios on board, and they do puppet versions of you. And they every day they do a puppet version. They just take your audio and do a puppet version.
I'd love that.
We tried to work with them, but they wouldn't adhere to our strict drug policy.
Yeah.
They would not.
That and
there is
they
high
were like,
constantly.
Honey, you don't have Muppet money.
That's right.
Right, like, right, right.
Whoa. Okay.
Whoa.
Shots fired.
What was the drug policy? That they had to take Lexapro?
Exactly. We just needed a little bit of a... even keel. No, they... I feel like everybody who works there probably still... does drugs. Maybe
smokes
not.
Pot on the
smokes,
lot.
Smokes dope, you know?
That lot is very interesting.
Yeah.
Very whimsical, and like you can feel that a lot used to go on there.
Mm-hmm.
Over on La Brea?
Yeah, at the Henson Studios.
Did you guys remember that there was like a AOL sent mail sound effect at the beginning of Public Service Announcement from the Black Album?
What?
There's like a... like the sound of a plane taking off. Anyways.
Which Black Album?
Are you sure?
That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know. Maybe not. Anyways, glad I stopped everything to...
Stop the presses for that one.
Stop the presses. Andy, we're going to get to know you a bit better in
that
a moment.
That sounds like an elderly person's hallucination.
Take our
Was
listeners
that an AOL
through.
Scent sound at the top of that tone?
Why does the world smell like you've got mail?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
We're going to... tell the listeners what we're talking about today. That's what we're going to do.
Let's do that.
And then we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. LeBron, we take all of our geopolitical cues from him, and therefore we are announcing that we are part
China.
Of We Stand With China today.
Thank you, LeBron, for the cue.
Yes. No, just the wackest of whack statements from LeBron. We're going to... ask why, ask what he thought he was saying.
Yeah.
We are going to check in with the whistleblower scandal. We are going to look at our new American international policy, our international relations, foreign policy. I think that's what
crumbling.
It's called. And who's a fan? Who's a fan?
Who likes late-stage imperial collapse?
We're going to talk about who Moody's is picking in the upcoming 2020 election. We're going to talk about Facebook being a right-wing company who ruined the internet.
And reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Taco Bell has recalled tainted beef.
Oh, God. We just have to give... it's our responsibility for the amount of Taco Bell we talk about. We got to let you know if... your meat could be at risk.
Find out what kind of shavings they found in the beef.
I feel like tainted beef is like a C-level
punk band.
I was gonna go with like Fish, one of those
like a
jam band. Yeah.
Oh, I feel like it's too dark. Like the idea of tainted beef. It's like Upton Sinclair, the jungle. It feels gritty.
Tainted you know with vibes, man.
Yeah. Right. Oh, wow.
I just feels like you would see them on a bill with
Fish.
Yeah,
there's fish, tainted beef.
I was desperately racking my brain for any jam band I could think of, and that's the only one that's still in my brain.
Massive Attack, were they?
Nope.
No.
That's
like a
Banksy's part of Massive Attack.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about all sorts of shit, but first, Andy, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Yeah, okay. So, Toby Huss. Is someone
oh,
I looked up.
Oh, hell yeah. The guy who used to do the Sinatra impression
yep.
on MTV.
Sinatra, he was Artie, the strongest man in the world on Pete and Pete. More recently,
down
he has
Periscope.
Taken a turn into dramatic acting, and he is incredible.
Really?
Yeah, Halt and Catch Fire.
Oh, shit.
Unreal. That was one of my favorite shows of the last couple of years. And he just did a little turn on Glow, season 3. And so I looked him up to see if I could find contact information for him.
Yeah. He is so, I remember like, I think that was my first interaction with seeing him do those weird MTV things where
yeah.
he was like, whoa, you got Method Man, like doing some yeah. weird scat Sinatra thing. And then in his just classic portrayal, I forget of who, but in the movie Down Periscope with Kelsey Grammer.
I think he was on an episode of Seinfeld as what's-her-face's
Ellen?
Boyfriend. Did you say yeah. Ellen?
Ellen? I mean, Elaine.
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 Dude, I've got too much DeGeneres on the brain.
We're
I was
also
about
recording
to say,
this late.
I was about to say Ellen DeGeneres, I think, in my mind, because it was so...
Elaine Benes.
Yeah, wow.
Yes. Yeah,
Ellen DeGeneres.
But that was a great Mepisode.
Yeah, Mepisode.
Classic.
Yeah. So, right. Toby Huss.
I love seeing
one
of
the best character actors. I mean, it's so weird to like divide actors up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but you got, I guess in one bucket, you got your Brad Pitts. And
But
Angelina Jolie's.
Right.
Guys, I'm going to.
And you get your character actors in your other bucket.
I'm going to re-engage in this conversation and stop trying to look up what band I was trying to think of when I said Massive Attack.
Who were you thinking?
I don't fucking know. They had to change their name, I think, because they overlapped with someone. They were really popular in the early 2000s.
The string cheese incident?
I'm sure people are screaming at their iPods, just like yesterday when I couldn't remember Slush Puppy.
My brain is trying to scream it into my
Also, where are my Soundtribe Sector 9 fans at?
Andy, what is something you think is overrated?
Great question. Jonathan Hickman's new start on X-Men.
Jonathan Hickman's new start on X-Men.
Yes.
Tell us
now,
what
I don't
the
think
fuck
Jonathan,
that even means.
I think Jonathan Hickman's fantastic, a great writer, and I'm excited to see where it's going. But so far, there's been some troubling things in the X-Men world. And
what's been going on in the X-Men world?
It just feels a little off. And I know because I trust Jonathan Hickman that it will pay off at some point in the future.
Oh, you're saying right now based on his
right
writing,
now, based
there's
on
trouble.
He's written two new miniseries to relaunch kind of the X-Men world.
Right.
And they have their own country now. And
the X-Men have their own country?
Yes. And they're dealing with like all mutants have their own country. It's kind of like an Israel analog.
Oh, really?
Minus the Palestine part.
Right.
Right. Got Everyone it. Wants to do like their own little like this group gets their own country thing.
Right.
But let's not deal with the real world baggage.
Where did they create? Where's the country?
It's called Krakoa.
Okay.
Or Krakoa. I don't know how to pronounce it because
it's a comic
written.
Book. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the best thing about comic books. In your mind, it's whatever is right.
It is a mutant island of its own. The island itself is a mutant.
Oh, okay.
No. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, I love explaining this to you guys.
Wait, that's for real?
Yeah,
The fucking mass in which they live upon was a mutant?
Yeah.
That sucks.
I gotta go.
I'm already on board with this being overrated.
This is where I got angry with it, because I'm like, it's just like a prologue, basically. It's not even really a story so far. It's kind of just like, here's an island, now they're part of the UN, blah, 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 right?
Uh-huh.
So some of the main X-Men are killed in one of the issues.
What?
I almost said Mepisode. Wolverine, Cyclops.
What?
Jean Grey. Nightcrawler, just killed outright. And then the next, and you're like, well, it's a comic book. They're not going to actually be killed. But the way that they're brought back in the next issue is that there are cloning pods.
Mm.
Okay. And so their bodies are cloned, basically. I won't go into the minutiae of it. And then there is apparently a backup of their minds that is then put into the clone body.
Yeah.
Now, if you destroy...
Like Time Machine on Mac OS?
Yes, exactly. That's the analog. Now, if you destroy my computer...
Yeah.
And you get me a new computer and you back it up, you've just created a different version. You didn't actually...
Recreate
my computer.
Sure.
Now, these are comic books. I will accept a million different ways you can bring someone back to life.
Right.
I will accept God. I will accept, souls in heaven. I will accept... some kind of resurrection, magic. There's so many different things. But this specific thing, which is...
You can't abide.
They just killed off a bunch of characters and then brought clones,
printed
actual
a
clones.
New one out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will even accept, somehow I grabbed their mind from out of the ether. I'll accept that kind of thing. But saying, no, we got a backup of their mind is not that person. And that's where I got off the train.
Right.
And I know that that will probably pay off in some way that is acceptable down the line. But this is the thing. This is why I said it's overrated. Because everyone is fucking crowing about it.
Right. They're like, they think it's like really cool and challenging what he's doing.
Yes. And I'm like, look, okay. Yes. So I do have an advanced degree in philosophy. And so I will quibble about questions of identity. But also, these you just killed Wolverine, and he's just dead.
Yeah.
And you now have, like, you made a clone of him.
Right, generic. That's not
the, it's like the Venture Brothers. Do you guys watch the Venture Brothers?
I don't.
Basically, the Venture Brothers have been killed, I think, 13 or 14 times. And the ones you're watching are clones. And the ones that you fought, that were in season one, they die at the end of season one.
Oh,
so
really?
From season two on, you're just watching clones that
love
were backed up.
And their brains were backed up?
Yeah.
And what sort of drive?
You
accepted an Adventure Brothers.
No, I didn't. Because that's an actual, that's a plot
point. Because it was on
an
iOmega zip drive.
By the time they find out that they're clones, that becomes this huge existential problem for the Venture Brothers in like season four or five. I just rewatched all of the seasons.
Do you think it's great. As a philosophy major, fellow philosophy major, do you think that, except you were actually a philosophy professor, so you're a little bit more serious about it than me. Do you think we will ever be able to save our consciousness into like, anything in a meaningful way?
No. Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know about technology. You could do it, but it won't be you. You have to have continuity of consciousness.
Right.
Right. If you want to exist, your brain has to somehow.
Right. It'll
or
just
your
be
consciousness.
Some copy of you.
Right. Or it's just a copy of you, and then it's not you. And I know Jonathan. Look, here's the thing. I trust Jonathan Hickman. I think he's a great writer, and
he's
I think
you.
It will somehow. He will call attention to this in some way, but I'm racking my brain. How will this be undone?
Just have faith.
So far, Wolverine and Nightcrawler, my favorite character, disintegrated in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Look,
hate
man, you just got to walk with God, man.
Yeah.
And he will reward you.
What is something you think is underrated?
Class warfare.
All right.
Where are the class traders at?
Yeah. What's that?
I said, where are the class traders at?
I want, where are the bespoke guillotine companies? Why are we not killing more rich people and redistributing their money to the working class? That's my question.
Oh man, that's the age-old question in this country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally, you know, middle class, comfortable, on the edge of bourgeois, so I'm not going to be doing that.
Middle class comfortable is by far my favorite cabin class.
What class? You're middle class comfortable.
Ooh, I would love if airlines, if I could get on there based on the class. First of all, that's also the class I grew up in.
Right.
Now I'm like, who knows?
Right.
But.
Now, who knows?
Oh, boy.
I'm on Spirit Air in the back.
Yes. Let's start off this class
warfare.
I think people
are slowly realizing rich people aren't that cool and are starting to be like, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah. Ellen hanging out with George Bush. I know you talked about it.
Right.
But
Seinfeld?
Ellen
DeBeneres? DeBeneres?
This is so stupid. I love it. I do feel like we were talking about it, but in the context of it does feel like there's a sea change that's been happening for a while, but this is like a manifestation of it where it's just like, yeah, this isn't cool anymore. Sorry. Like the rules have changed. Shut the fuck up, Ellen.
Sadly, like, I think it's like jealousy is the real motivator, right?
Well,
where at a certain point it's like, well, I'm not going to have that. So fuck you. I don't know how many people like, you know, like in that Kylie Jenner, like flex selfie with her like Bugatti or whatever the fuck car was.
Right.
And people were like, this is gross
or
whatever. Like, I know there are some people who
that
are
was
very
the
principled.
Whole culture though. That was the whole culture for the past 10 years.
Right. And I wonder if now that's a function, if that's like a function of saying like, I realize now I'm not going to have that. So fuck y'all. Cause I wanted that. Or realizing, hold on, I'm operating in like a fucking fucked up matrix.
Yeah.
That's upside down.
When you said class trader, what were you referring
like
to?
Like people like Disney's granddaughter who are like being like, yo, we need to pay more. Like, I don't give a fuck. We have too much.
I was just listening to somebody talk about how that's what you need is class traders because they will never let somebody into power who doesn't who doesn't have the same background as them.
Right.
So like the person who broke up the monopolies in the first place, like back at the turn of the, like in the early 1900s was Teddy Roosevelt. And he was just like, yeah, I know like you guys got me elected, but now I'm going to break up your monopoly. Like just had to like totally do a heel turn on the Richie Rich.
That's almost the only, besides like mass action.
Right.
That's the only way in that stuff. It's the same thing with like the impeachment shit that's going on now, where it's like,
Get off his back.
Trump literally could have done anything up until the point where he actually like attacked another elite. I mean, this is just, I'm just parroting Chris Hedges, what he said on Democracy Now! Last week, I think. But but he was just, he's saying like, it's the same thing with Watergate, right? Everyone was fine with Nixon like murdering how many millions of Cambodians and Vietnamese people. And then when he burgled the Democrats, that's when they're like, oh, we got to get rid of this dude.
Yeah, at the same time, it is like our whole system rests on the idea of democracy. And if he's blatantly cheating at an election, I mean, granted, our rules could be seen as somewhat arbitrary.
But it's that weird thing, though, too. We've been saying of all this shit we've seen prior to this.
Yeah.
It's when he tried to smear a centrist Democrat. Yeah. That somehow was like, oh, hold on a second.
Yeah, that's it. It's a, like, he literally went into office ignoring the emoluments clause, which is a grounds for impeachment instantly. And everyone's just like, oh, it's okay that he's profiting off of his presidency. Yeah.
Right. Or the, or like, even if you look at some, anyway, look, it's, that's why we're in podcasting and not at the levers of power.
Yeah.
So class warfare.
New
class
levers.
Warfare,
build
class
your own
warfare.
Levers.
At the same time.
To the guillotine.
And I think you guys all have a point. I just need to check and figure out what LeBron James thinks about it. And then I will let you know what I think.
Okay.
Finally,
LeBron
what
James,
is a myth?
Another rich person.
No way. Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
So I had a couple ideas for this. And like the Netflix model is unsustainable. And Naomi's like, don't do that. Do something fun. So the myth that I'm going to dispel is...
the Netflix model isn't unsustainable.
Mozzarella sticks are bad for you. That's the myth. And I'm going to say, no, they're great for you.
Yeah,
now follow the logic on this. Have you guys ever been in a high-stress situation?
Yes.
Every day.
Okay. And how does your body feel in that high-stress situation?
I don't know. Garbage. I've never felt different.
So you, from the womb to the tomb,
womb to the tomb,
stress.
High stress situation.
The unpredictable.
Yeah.
So have you ever been in a more stressful situation?
Yes.
Yes. And how does your body feel then?
Very, very tight.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So a while ago, Naomi and I were in a working on a project that was we were working with some terrible people.
Mm.
This is like
the Koch brothers, you can say.
Okay. I don't know why we decided to sell a TV show to the Koch brothers.
We were writing scripts for Prager University videos.
But it was all about how it was about a fracking team and how they're saving the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
They start fracking and like discover there's like a whole underground civilization that
the Frackles.
Frackle Rock.
Yeah, Frackle Rock.
Hell
come on,
yeah.
It was right there in front of us the whole time. So it was about 6 years ago now. I got chest pains from this. Naomi got an ulcer from this thing. Yeah, it was really, it was not good. We were under so much stress. And what was the bright spot in our lives? Why, the food we would eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now I say this, when you are in a high stress situation, why not eat a mozzarella stick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
From where though?
Where are we now? In Los Angeles?
America.
I mean, like, but I'm just saying that like, I can't dictate wherever you are, where the best mozzarella stick is. I'll tell you this.
What was the one you were eating? I want to get like.
Well, that was New York then. I don't know exactly.
Call it out.
Here, House of Pies, surprisingly, the best mozzarella stick I've had in Los Angeles. Cosa Buona comes in second.
Cosa Buona.
Because they have a smoky mozzarella stick, but it's not, but it's like homemade. It's delicious, but it's when you want like a mozzarella stick, flour shell, deliciously fried.
Yeah.
House of Pies. Nothing else on their menu is great,
right?
But their mozzarella sticks.
Brought to you by House of Pies. You know, that's what I think most doctors say. If you're having chest pains, have some mozzarella sticks.
I do think, though.
What's going on, Andy? Chest pains?
I mean, when people
talk
about.
I can't feel my arm, but I should have these mozzarella sticks with the other one.
When people talk about the placebo effect, they picture like sugar pills only. But I do feel, you know, the placebo effect basically means how you think you feel is like how your body is actually going to, you know, behave and medically exist. And I feel like, you know, eating comfort food sometimes is
healthy. There's nothing that, man, I know exactly what you mean. Stress eating and I will go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And also knowing there are certain things that you eat that make you feel really good.
Yeah.
I love a French dip sandwich.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's just how I self-medicate. With food.
With French dip. That seems very hoity-toity.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you get a Philippe's, you can get, you know, there's a way to make it yourself where you just get the little packet and just make a weird one on your stove. Not that great.
Yeah, French onion like, soup for me.
That's a part of the bourgeoisie over here.
Yeah, well, right? You know. Am I right?
Well, you know, when you'll see my ex-Mossad security guards beat the shit out of you if you're trying to get at me.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And we are monsters. I wish you could have heard how we treated DJ Daniel during that commercial break.
Screamed at him for talking to our talent. I'm
Jack
sorry about that, Andy.
Threw a mug at the wall.
But it didn't shatter, which made it was very like
it was really sad.
Counter,
well, the velocity from your hand was very low.
It barely made it to the wall.
Ooh, Jack.
It says more about your strength than your anger.
I might want to have a mozzarella stick, my man.
Oh, like Popeye?
Yeah. It's called fart guy.
How would Popeye eat a mozzarella stick?
Just
would he
squeeze
the breading and the thing would shoot into his mouth like a hot load? Let's talk about LeBron. I'm sorry. Let's talk about LeBron James. This upset me more than I... more than it should have, more than I care to admit.
Yeah. So look, the NBA and pretty much any company doing business with China that's an American-based company is going through a bit of a time now where people have to be like, should we talk out loud in favor of people who are being oppressed by this autocratic regime? I don't know. or do we like money better?
Right.
And the NBA saga unfolded when Daryl Morey from the Rockets tweeted out an image in solidarity of the Hong Kong protests.
Woo!
And then so that
almost
caused
fired.
Dude, then caused a massive profits fire. Like Leaning Sportswear ended their deal with the Rockets. Tencent, like every company, a lot of companies are doing business with the NBA. Were like, we're done.
James Harden and Russell Westbrook in the immediate aftermath were like, we love China.
China's the best. China's actually really tight to me.
We love our fans there. Super tight.
We love authoritarian really communism slash capitalism.
So sick, though. Whatever.
I guess I'm more, I was more willing to forgive that because it was the day after and they were clearly like had a gun to their head. Whereas this is like,
yeah, well, I think
a week and a half later, LeBron James,
he has to say something. I'm sure he was probably asked. I'm sure that's how it all happened. And his answer, anyway, he just has this quote. He said, I don't want to get into a verbal feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand.
And he spoke.
That's... Wow. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and say and we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
I mean, unless we play in China, then we don't.
Right. I'm just, what?
Have freedom of speech.
What is he, I don't understand that he wasn't educated on the situation. What is he misinformed by?
Exactly. I was confused. What did LeBron James think that Daryl Morey didn't know when he tweeted support for the people in Hong Kong who are being like riot policed to?
I think, I don't know, the
maybe
cynical
didn't
version.
Maybe he understand the whole like the law, like what was going on with the extradition? I forget the exact.
Sure.
The rendition, maybe he didn't understand that whole thing.
I think really what it says, the translation might be talking about China can fuck up everyone's money. We aren't willing to confront their transgressions because it would risk our revenues. So we have chosen to ignore this because money is more important.
Yeah.
I think is what he meant.
Right.
Straight up. See, guys?
It's a
class warfare.
Yeah, no, but again, you know, and it's a very odd, it was a weird thing to say. And I can only imagine the league's biggest star probably has to send up a flare to Chinese business interests to say, like, I am still in line with whatever y'all are trying to do.
But even the NBA, after they initially issued a statement that was like kind of in this direction, that was sort of like, well, you know, there's multiple sides to everything. Adam Silver came out and was, you know, made a statement that was definitely picking the side of, you know, freedom of speech and pissing China off. So, like, it's not like Adam Silver was behind him being like, say this or else.
Yeah, no.
It was all about not fucking up his money. It was like, he's about progressive values until it becomes uncomfortable.
It's a little sad to see. Because on one hand, I can understand privately if what he's saying is to someone else. He goes, man, Daryl should have known. He's like, we're in bed with China. That's like a third rail topic. Like, you only talk about the business and that. Don't talk about anything about what their government does or anything to do with their domestic reform policy.
You can talk about the Meg and other international co-productions.
Right. And how sick Leaning Footwear is.
Right.
But like, that's where I wish he would have just not said anything at all, because I can stomach him just being, you know, about his money and not really trying to act like he's some kind of savior type person.
Right.
But it's drawn a lot of criticism. Him saying this has drawn a lot of criticism. Muhammad Ali's wife was like, Muhammad Ali wouldn't have done that.
And he wouldn't have.
No, he wouldn't have.
But I do think it's sometimes important to remember, like, you shouldn't have your hopes like pinned on, like, I don't watch athlete interviews after the game for a reason. Like, they are always boring as fuck.
Yeah, and like,
they don't have interesting
performances.
Insight.
Right.
I just want to thank God.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I want to thank
Leaning Sportswear.
Jesus.
Right. Yep.
I want to thank the Holy
I'm
Ghost.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. Not Jesus. Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping. I'm sorry. Xi Jinping Christ.
Yeah, but Ali, Kaepernick, like you can't really count that many athletes who were like important. You know, O.J. Simpson on Twitter was great. Brady.
Sorry, hold on.
Obviously, you know, the greats.
What did O.J. say?
Oh my God, he's just too much. He's incredible on Twitter.
I love China makes some great knives.
Right. There you go.
Well, I think that's the whole deal, right? Is certain people in your activism, if you're really about your activism, you will follow that path wherever it leads you. It's right. Not for the faint of heart.
Right.
And I think that's what we see is at the end of the day, LeBron James is a capitalist.
Right.
That's his prerogative as
a business
person.
This is what Michael Jordan probably would have done or said.
Dude, like, yeah. He would have been like, fuck them protesters.
Right.
Probably.
Exactly. I mean, he's...
Was that your Michael Jordan impression?
No, well, just no. I don't think there's a way to properly do Michael Jordan.
Right.
But
he did say,
I can't
fuck
even
them
imagine
kids.
What his
he
voice
said, fuck
sounds
them
like
kids.
Now.
Yeah, he's not a very kind guy. But, like, you know, for example, you know, Enes Kanter, who's a Turkish player, he tweeted out basically... After this came out, he said, Enes Kanter is basically cannot go back to Turkey.
Right. Erdogan wants him dead.
Yeah. And Enes Kanter has been outspoken and a very big critic of Erdogan. And so that comes with consequences. And he tweeted, haven't seen or talked to my family 5 years. Jailed my dad. My siblings can't find jobs. Revoked my passport. International arrest warrant. My family can't leave the country. Got death threats every day. Got attacked, harassed, tried to kidnap me in Indonesia. Freedom is not free. Yeah. And I think that sort of realigning the stakes for people here, it's like, this isn't just some, it's not just like, was it Yanni or Laurel?
Right.
It's like fucking yeah. real shit here.
Right.
It's not like, oh yeah, I'm either cool with this. Or no, actually, this is I cannot abide by this.
It just depends on your point of view.
Yeah.
And like, and again, you should have taken other people's point of views into account.
Take the middle road like most people and just don't say anything at all.
Right.
You know, but if you're going to, don't speak on the right side, please.
Yes.
By the way, has anyone ever done an Erdogan / and one mashup?
Ooh.
Erdogan mixtape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love to see that.
Hell yeah.
I mean, his crossover was nasty.
Right.
I saw him fucking spin hot sauce in half.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Let's talk about the ongoing impeachment inquiry and the whistleblower story.
Yeah. Wow. It's getting hotter.
I thought you were about to start singing, it's getting hot
in here. It's getting hot in here, so hot. So take off all your clothes. No, every day there's a new person who's like, I don't care what the White House said. I'm going to go talk to Congress. I don't give a fuck. There's no confidential information because you have made it public. Therefore, there's no legal argument as to why I shouldn't go up there. That's exactly what Fiona Hill, who was the National Security Council's like Russia aide, her lawyer basically said to the White House, and they're like, no, she's going to go testify.
Is she a Republican herself?
I'm not sure, but she's definitely what she was saying. You wouldn't think it. She's definitely not, you know, or, you know, whatever. She's at least able to speak coherently on this very narrow topic.
I mean, the intelligence agencies hate Trump. I mean, they despise him.
Yeah.
And because there was a Matt Taibbi article where he was saying, like, Most of the time when there's a whistleblower in any of the intelligence agencies, they destroy that person.
Right.
They just like destroy their lives.
The intelligence agencies.
Yeah.
The intelligence agencies.
And this is the first time where there's a quote unquote whistleblower and they're like, this is the greatest person that's ever come forward.
Yeah. It's a valid question. Is she herself a Republican? Because, I mean, most people in national security are Republicans, like, by nature. Like, that's who generally gravitates towards security and defense sort of career.
Well, it's odd, too, because it also kind of obscures, like, what Reality Winner or, like, Chelsea Manning have done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are people who are absolutely paying consequences.
Yeah. Right.
Genuine heroes
and
who did real things that
it redefines what a whistleblower is, kind of. And I know there have been a lot of articles. I think maybe was that Matt Taibbi's article, maybe talking about in the context of like actual whistleblowers and like what the fate has been for those people.
Yeah. Maybe I mean, Reality Winner, what she has like a 5-year sentence. Is Chelsea Manning out? Is she back out of jail?
I think she's
she
still
was
being
in.
Held.
She was put back in jail again.
Yeah. It's again, and this is the whole situation again, for whatever reason, this is the moment people are choosing to find their morality and whatever, their convictions and things like this. But between Fiona Hill and the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, George Kent, who have both basically testified in front of Congress, are telling lawmakers the same thing. Rudy Giuliani was running an outright smear campaign against Marie Yovanovitch, the ambassador to Ukraine. And
because
running a
they
whole...
were worried that she was too on the up and up and wouldn't let them do crimes.
Right. And
Rudy Giuliani, the hero of 9/11?
Right. Yeah. And running their own shadow foreign policy is what was said. And it kind of shows you how many people, there are many people within the White House who saw this and like, dude, Rudy's fucking out of control. And, you know, John Bolton somehow.
Noted liberal John Bolton.
Might end up being like the cherry on top.
Blood just dripping from his jaws.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because when he was like, I resign, and Trump's like, he's fired or whatever, like unceremoniously left the White House, yeah. He vowed to make a mess. And you're starting to see that Trump already suspects that a lot of the like leaks are coming from John Bolton.
Right.
But that's kind of what happens when there's no honor among thieves and people are out and they're spiteful. So one of the things that the testimony Fiona Hill gave basically KO'd all these time, like these defenses that the GOP has been giving, whether it's the quid pro quo thing or the absurd argument Sondland was going to give. She says that there was a big blowout with John Bolton, Kurt Volker, Gordon Sondland, and a couple of Ukrainians because they were basically talking about this deal. This is her testimony. Mr. Bolton was trying to not commit to a meeting, according to Ms. Hill's testimony. Mr. Sondland got agitated and let out that there was an agreement with Mr. Mulvaney that there would be a meeting, well, with Ukrainians if Ukraine opened up the investigations the White House was seeking.
Yeah.
That's it. Literally, you've described the quid pro quo right there.
Yeah.
John Bolton, welcome to the resistance.
And John Bolton was pissed. So then what happened next? Mr. Bolton ended the meeting abruptly. As the group moved toward the door, Mr. Sondland said he wanted them to come down to the wardroom next to the White House mess to discuss next steps. Mr. Bolton pulled her aside and told her to report everything they talked about. When she got downstairs, Sondland was talking with the Ukrainians and specifically mentioned Burisma, the Ukrainian energy firm that had Hunter Biden on their board. Then what? Ms. Hill testified that she asked Mr. Sondland why he would be discussing this in front of their Ukrainian colleagues and tried to shuffle them out of the room and break things up. At one point, Mr. Sondland mentioned Mr. Giuliani, who was involved in the discussions about a possible meeting between the two presidents.
Right.
So, and Edward Sondland, as we were talking about yesterday, he's out here trying to be like, oh, I had no idea what was going on.
His name's not Edward, is it?
Or Gordon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep thinking it's Edward. But anyway.
Gordon DeBenners.
Oh, God. I'm messing up the names today. But I'm saying, like, is he going to testify something that is counterfactual?
Right.
A lie? Will he tell lies?
It seems like he wants to just get it out there so he's not the bad guy.
Basically. Yeah, but he's trying to do it both ways, where he's trying to be like, I didn't do it, and also, they're not that bad, yo.
Right.
Like, that's not going to work.
Right.
Especially not when you have all these people who are there talking to you in your face being like, this is not what happened.
Right.
So it'll get interesting. And now Rudy Giuliani's like, I will not fucking cooperate with a single congressional subpoena.
Also, didn't he fire his lawyer because
the former Watergate prosecutor?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he left, actually. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of rumors as to what happened. But after 2 weeks, like, okay, so that was 2 weeks ago. That's when the scandal broke. By this time, he's like, okay, I'm out.
Right.
Rat dog?
Yeah.
Disco biscuits. Widespread panic?
Widespread panic.
Government mule?
Oh, jam bands?
Yeah, that was the band.
Leftover salmon. Just a handful, just a sprinkling.
Yeah. Widespread panic is the one that I was trying to think of. Fuck.
Massive attack. Oh, okay, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Just
a sprinkling of names.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Smattering.
Oh, you're the best, man. Let's talk about U.S. foreign policy that doesn't necessarily involve the whistleblower directly, but
does it involve,
might just
bombing weddings.
Involve general widespread incompetence,
widespread panic.
Yes, widespread panic. Even, actually, widespread panic. So, I mean, Trump's Syria policy was.
Can you call it a policy?
No.
Trump's policy.
Trump's
mood. Syria.
Trump's
decision.
Whims. I worked for someone that is exactly like Trump once. And people like him don't have policies. They just, whatever fucking shit just flies in front of their face. They're just like, yeah, do that thing.
Yes.
Or go against that thing.
Well, there's also speculation that his conversation with Erdogan was involved like some of his financial interests in Turkey, right?
Yes. And also talks about a banker that Rudy Giuliani was representing. There's a lot
going
on.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple days ago.
But yeah, I mean, I think when you sort of look at what's happening, obviously Trump pulling out of Syria and abandoning our Kurdish allies, creating a power vacuum that Russia is so glad to fill because now they're already patrolling the areas that have been vacated by the U.S. troops.
Yeah.
And it basically has had the knock-on effect of creating an alliance between the Kurds and Russia vis-a-vis Assad, basically, where you know, this is like the perfect thing for Putin. He would love nothing more than to have like the reputation of the U.S. as an ally be like a thing that you can't count on anymore, because right. that was sort of like the post-World War II thing that they're trying to break up. And it's slowly happening now, right? With this,
I mean, not slowly. It fucking it's happening. Happened I mean, it's overnight. Happened. It's well, like and then, people yeah. who are like in national security are like, this is all of our worst nightmares. And it like happened immediately, like yeah. right away. It's like 2 days later, Russia is like allied with the Kurds, and it's a disaster. It's like all of the paranoid fantasies of like, what if there was an idiot who was president? Like, we would be
who had
super
no idea
fucked.
About the nuances of
yeah, who just wasn't willing to take into account the nuances of, you know,
not even nuances. Ally equals good.
By the way, right. there's no one good there in this story. No one is a good person. Like,
right.
Putin's a monster.
Yeah,
Trump is as just a stupid beast. The CIA spent right. the last, what, seven decades overthrowing right. democratic.
I mean, and, in the whistleblower, and in the whistleblower scandal, like, a lot of the people are probably pissed at Trump because he's not better at doing crimes as opposed to right. the fact that he's doing
crimes. Yeah. It's like, oh, come on, man. If you're going to cheat yeah. on your test, like, you print out the answers on a clear label.
You're
going to
get us all busted. Like, that sort yeah. of shit. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. You're making it hot. That's exactly what he's
Why
doing.
Why do they always tell on themselves? Like these people, like Trump, they or Giuliani, they just outright say the shit they've done.
I think their privilege just puts them in a different reality where you can say things like, because clearly with Trump, transparency equals innocence to him.
Right.
Well, if I'm transparently corrupt, then what's the problem? I'm not like being duplicitous. Like it's all on the open. So that, I don't know.
So the duplicity is the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I would never be duplicit. Just be corrupt out in the open.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that is the issue that we're having, is that we have this model for what a political scandal looks like, and it involves lying. And he, in addition to lying, also just says, just doesn't realize that what he's doing is bad.
Yeah.
And so just openly does it and is like, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, again, with the Syria thing, like Trump, you know, there were reports that he thought like Erdogan was bluffing about invading Syria.
Right.
It's like he's been saying this for years now.
Right.
But he's like, yeah, I gave the okay to the thing he said he would do for years and he did it.
Right.
Whoa. And then the response are these like weak sanctions packages. I don't know why he's trying to get credit for putting out a fucking forest fire that he started and right. not even putting it out. Like, he brought a water gun to a fucking forest fight.
Yeah.
A forest fight? A forest fire.
That's a good band name. Forest fight.
Forest fight.
But he doesn't, that's the thing. He doesn't give any forethought. He doesn't give forethought. He doesn't give afterthought to the stuff. He reacts to whatever is in front of him, does whatever the thing is that will either enrich him or hurt his enemies.
Right.
And then he goes on to whatever the next thing is, and then just reacts to that. He's
right.
This like putrid, dripping ichor of id.
Right.
Just I'm imagining just like there's some shadow creature just dripping this like Ooh. Stuff with like these sharp, disgusting teeth, just like
yeah,
yeah. So. While we're on the subject of what a good leader he is, apparently we might be in for 4 more years. According to Moody's, who is the credit rating agency, they have a model that just looks at the economy and has chosen correctly every time since 1980 who would win the presidential election. Every time, sorry, except for 2016, the one time that... People were actually surprised, so it doesn't mean shit.
Well, then we should keep listening to them.
But I do like, I think this is representative of something we're going to see more and more of as, you know, the 2020 election gets rolling and the mainstream, like, monoculture media apparatus is, you know, it has an entire history of elections to draw on and only one 2016 election to draw on. And so they're going to say shit like this. President Donald Trump looks likely to cruise to re-election next year under 3 different economic models. Barring anything unusual happening, the president's electoral college victory could easily surpass his 2016 win over Hillary Clinton. Barring anything unusual happening. Mm-hmm. Like, aren't we beyond that? Like,
everything is unusual.
Everything is unusual.
Like, what? Here's the thing was Moody's one of the companies that was paid off to change ratings in the
Big Short, that fictional movie.
No, in reality, leading up to the 2008 crash, weren't they one? There were two companies, and weren't they
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? I think.
No, it was Moody's and whatever the other one that rates that gives like AAA ratings.
Oh, right.
Weren't they one of them? Also, like every person that like was like, we know what's going to happen in 2016. They're all still working.
Yeah.
Like Nate Silver, I'm like, why are we listening to this guy? He's been wrong so many times.
Yeah.
Including this giant one, this big old screw
he
up
was not,
in predicting the 2016 election.
That's one of my myths, Andy, that I like to bust. But he said that Trump had a like 33% chance. He wasn't one of the ones that was saying like it was a one in a million that Trump would win.
Well, I think
but he gets lumped in with all the predictive people, I think.
The thing just about this is that it's coming from a fucking financial services company.
Right. And it's coming
Wall Street is telling you. Well, if you look, because I mean, let's just think about what's going on right now. If you look at a lot of the polling or the averages, Elizabeth Warren could be ahead of Joe Biden, who is a pee pants nightmare for Wall Street. Then after Biden is Bernie Sanders, a poo pants nightmare for Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they're like, fuck, like we're in a really weird spot because if it's not Biden, the next two people have literally we're on their hit list. And right. I think for them to be, I think it's them being like, hey, man. You better, Wall Street's telling you this could be, you know, save us, please, sir. You know, we're telling you this could be bad if it's these people we're looking at right now. I'm a little bit cynical when I see Moody's be like, emphatically be like, dude, Donald Trump's going to crush whoever it is. And
right.
I guess by right now, if we're looking at the averages of polls, I guess that's Elizabeth Warren. So maybe we should go back to the Biden thing. I don't know. Anyway,
right.
It's just me. It's my two cents. I'm Moody's. I'm out.
Yeah. But also, like, there's a very good chance Trump will be reelected.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Especially if Biden is the nominee.
Yeah, or some other fucking jackass.
I bet you guys now. I think Warren is even problematic. I think Bernie is the only one that is a clear, it's a toss-up. And even then, I think it might, who knows.
Mm.
But yeah, we are all probably looking at another 4 years of Trump.
Well, I can't imagine, again, because it would take a lot when you think about how the huge donors are thinking, if it's fucking Elizabeth Warren, we're going to back Trump that there have been grumblings like that.
And he already has historical.
Then like in a way you might have to see the DNC play ball in their weird fucking way.
Class warfare.
Oh, here's Pete Buttigieg.
But they don't give a shit. The DNC doesn't care because they still get paid. The
right.
top people there still get paid their job. They're not in vulnerable position. They're not being put in cages. They're not. Their children aren't being taken from them.
No, not at all.
They don't care. Their consultants still get paid. So if they lose, like with Hillary Clinton, they knew that the numbers weren't great. They knew she was a flawed candidate in the first place. And they knew that they should have like, or maybe they didn't.
Uncreative thinking of like thinking of where people were and what the direction people were possibly looking towards. And then going like, we'll just go with this very familiar, like dynastic name.
Yeah. And even like during that time, I understand why conventional wisdom had it that Hillary was like a safe bet to beat Trump, because in the past, like centrist Democrats had been. But if you still believe that, like, what the fuck were you not paying attention to about 2016? Like, we're not that in that world anymore.
It's a brand new day, man.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and we should say we're not going to get to the Democratic debate.
They're literally happening
right
now.
They're happening right now. We're recording late, but not to wait for the Democratic debate. We're recording late.
I don't know. I think Beto O'Rourke's saying some shit right now. Amy Klobuchar. The gang's all here.
Klobuchar
She picked up her podium and threw it at Buttigieg.
Yeah, no, Amy Klobuchar came at
came
Elizabeth,
at Warren. Yeah.
Elizabeth pretty interestingly.
Yeah.
I'm sure when I unmute this, it's going to be a lot. I'm thinking it's spicy. I don't know. Y'all will know tomorrow, maybe.
Well, let's talk about what's actually important in the moment.
Yes,
and that
thank
there
you.
Is a Taco Bell recall
yes.
of tainted beef.
Quote unquote beef. Okay. Yeah.
It's causing a widespread panic.
Hey-o.
There we go. Thank you so much. He has returned. So basically Monday they said they are voluntarily recalling 2.3 million pounds of seasoned beef. In 21 states. So if you're in the eastern Midwest.
That's what they used to call me at the gym,
dude,
by
this
the way.
Is so crazy.
Seasoned
the
beef.
Eastern Midwest, the northern southeast, and northeast.
Right.
Very specifically. It wasn't, but they're saying, don't worry, it wasn't salmonella. It was just metal shavings.
Metal shavings.
Yeah, so that's a public service announcement from the Daily Zeitgeist because I know I preach the gospel of El Bell.
Are metal shavings dangerous to ingest?
I think so.
Probably.
It's not like glass, right? Glass.
Well, first of all, it can fuck up your teeth. Second of all, like think about you ingest a burrito full
of
metal shavings,
shavings
and then go into one of those magnetic imaging machines.
Yeah.
And it just pulls it through your body. That would be some Final Destination shit, son.
But I was imagining like that, you know, when you were a kid, you had that little thing with the magnetic shavings and you could change the hair. That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
That you could change the hair on you. Like you eat these Taco Bell
burritos. And move around your stomach.
Yeah. And you can move
rip
your organs around.
Oh my God.
You're like, I want my organs in a different configuration. I'm sick of my stomach being here.
I can't. Yeah. I mean, look, I like metal shavings in my Mexi Melt, so I'm not that mad at it. But you know,
I add them in.
Yeah.
I go to the, you know, I put in the little hot sauce, put in some metal shavings.
All right, let me get a cheesy roll up, add pico, add beef, add metal shavings, please. Three of them.
Let's talk about some food that is farm to runway food. The next evolution in airline
just
food.
That,
oh, run that runway. I thought we were going to, fashion.
Yeah. No. Like, the couture like, for farmers.
This cow is wearing a beautiful another cow.
This outfit will have you saying, yo, man. Yeoman farmers. Okay. Now, yes, Singapore Airlines announced a thing that I thought was probably just absurd on its face, but when I read about the company that's doing it, it's not as sort of gross as I thought. They basically, if you have a business class ticket for the New York to Singapore direct flight, you can eat like a boss. They are basically providing like organic produce that is like grown less than like 10 miles from the runway. So it's the freshest possible ingredients for their pot.
Why are they doing this?
To offset their carbon footprint, I think.
That should work.
Well, okay, so this place that they're using, I think this is more of an interesting story on this kind of vertical indoor farming techniques that they use. This place, Aero Farms, is the indoor farm where they're getting the food. But I didn't realize it uses 95% less water than field farm food.
Field farm food.
Love the triple F, but you know, gotta love this new indoor food. Yeah. And they say also because like the process is about like spray bottling, like waters directly, the water onto the roots, you can harvest vegetables in 10 to 14 versus 30 to 45 conventional
days
farming.
Of traditional farming.
I mean, look, God bless days of traditional farming.
Right.
We really love them. But yeah, look, didn't realize. I guess now we all have something to aspire to. We all want to fly business class from Newark to Singapore.
Yeah.
And really join the successful people.
The other option is to fly middle class, comfort class, in which case you eat out of a bowl like you were just hearing me do while Miles was speaking. You
a could tin hear bowl. Me
tin yeah, bowl. Eating out of a tin bowl. That was sampling the other option.
Lamb and rice.
Yeah, lamb and kibble. Rice kibble. One more food story before we get to the main attraction, which is Robert Downey Jr.'s new movie, Doolittle, for some reason. Coca-Cola is making Tic Tacs.
Yeah.
And that's all.
That's it. I don't understand what is the. Isn't a Tic Tac a breath mint?
Hold on. No, because they can be great. They can
I know they're sweet.
They can be
all candy.
By great, I mean like the breath freshening stuff. Who cares? But you got orange Tic Tacs?
They're delicious.
They're delicious.
I know. I love them.
And Coke, here's the thing. As a vegetarian, I have not been able to have Coke gummies because they have gelatin in them. For 15
vegan.
Years.
Are you vegan or vegetarian? Are you able to have
vegetarian.
Are you able to have gelatin?
Yeah, no animal things. Oh, that, you have to kill the animal to get the hooves
but you
to
eat
make
milk.
The gelatin.
You eat cheese.
Yes. Not vegan.
Great. Fantastic.
You don't have to kill any Got animals it. To get cheese.
Yes.
But you can drink Coca-Cola too, right?
Look, do you drink cola? There's a very
He's drinking a Diet Coke.
There's
right
a very
now,
specific taste that the cola adds to the gummies.
Okay.
It's delicious.
The gummies.
And I have missed that. Now you're offering me another candy that has cola taste?
Yeah. They actually
I'm on board. First, I thought you were Coke Brothers. Then I thought it was cocaine Tic Tacs. It was some new drug.
Right. Yeah,
but Coke now Tic-Tacs. You're telling me it's Coca-Cola
it's a nasal suppository.
Tic Tacs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola flavored Tic Tacs. They are white on the outside, which bugs me for some reason. I can't quite figure out
But the
out
vanilla
why.
Ones are like, or the regular mint ones that had a hint of vanilla on the outside.
You want them to be brown.
Yeah, I want them to be brown.
Well, then they can't print. I think it's just to be able to print the red Coca-Cola. I don't know. Look, I'm not in marketing.
Here's the thing. Two things that have equally bad aftertastes, Coca-Cola and the white Tic Tacs.
I got to argue with you. Coke Zero, definitely metallic, terrible aftertaste. Coca-Cola
really?
Itself? Oh, my God. I'll just sip on that aftertaste. I don't even need to drink.
Give me a glass of aftertaste.
Yeah, I don't need the Coca-Cola itself. Just,
I
just want that aftertaste.
Kinda. What do you mean? In what sense? Like how your teeth feel like they're turning into dust?
It feels like it fucks your, like, it makes your teeth gritty like the Tic Tac. It makes your breath taste
No,
like
it makes it gritty like the mascot.
Right.
AKA fantastic.
Maybe that's what you prefer is gritty. So maybe that's just the difference between you and me.
They had a one before that was a generic cherry cola Tic Tac that I remember I bought because I like to fuck around with Tic Tacs.
That makes sense to me.
And it was generic though. And it was a little odd.
Right.
But, you know, maybe if they have the original formula, then they found something good.
I guess with the Coke aftertaste, I mean, not the immediate aftertaste, which they've perfected the mouthfeel. And even food scientists say, like, Coca-Cola has the best, like,
Did Coke get to you?
Balance. I was going
to
say, do they yank your leash right
but,
now?
But, no, it's 5 minutes
You're
after
the LeBron
you drink
of Coca-Cola.
A Coke. 5 minutes after you drink a Coke, your mouth starts to, like, I don't know. It's like the opposite of the clean feeling you have after you brush your teeth.
You get morning mouth.
Same shit. Yeah, morning mouth. That's a great way of describing it, Miles.
Thank you so much.
You know what?
Put some points on the board.
You know what? I agree with you.
Thank you. Straight up. And Tic Tac.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
Vanilla Mint Tic Tacs do the same thing. All right, guys. We have to get to the story of Robert Downey Jr.'s return to the big screen, the silver screen.
Tentpole
post-MCU.
The gritty remake.
Robert Downey Jr. is Doolittle.
Wow.
Is this like Joker?
So this is like Joker. It's equally anticipated. Also won the award for top film at the Venice Film Festival when it premiered there.
Doolittle?
Yeah, Doolittle.
People
no,
were sobbing in the audience.
So this movie, I think, technically is the opposite of those attributes in that it was set for to be released last spring and has instead been held for January, which is generally like studio dumping ground where they just drop all the...
I mean, it's a kid's movie, right?
So
I don't know. You saw the
trailer.
It looks
like a kid's movie. I mean, it is a kid's movie because Dr. Doolittle lives in an enchanted castle where he has a toy train running through it for some reason.
Like a weird F.A.O. Schwartz on mushrooms?
Yeah.
Like toys.
The Robin Williams movie? Love it.
But it's...
And Joan Cusack.
So one sign that we're in on shaky ground is that Robert Downey Jr., in order to keep himself focused, attempted a Welsh accent.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Welsh accent?
He literally said he's doing it as a fun challenge for himself.
What's
as
a Welsh accent?
So it is Christian Bale's accent, which... If you've ever listened to Christian Bale in interviews, sometimes he sounds like he has an accent, sometimes he doesn't. It's like, why does Christian Bale have a fake accent? He doesn't. Yeah. He has a Welsh accent, which even Welsh people are like, it's really a weird accent.
Or depending on where you are, it can differ. I mean, Catherine Zeta-Jones is also Welsh.
Right.
And you're like, it's like vaguely English.
Right.
But
so like Madonna.
Yeah. Right. Like Lindsay Lohan.
Well, like the other time that somebody tried to do a really difficult accent, Leonardo DiCaprio did a
Blood
South
Diamond.
African accent in Blood Diamond. And everyone was like, that's the worst accent work ever. But then some South African people were like, no, it's actually really good. But we just have a weird accent that like on some words, it sounds like you forgot to do the accent. And on other words, it sounds like you have a thick accent.
I remember my first trumpet teacher when I was taking lessons as a kid who like worked at my school, his wife was South African. And when she spoke, I was like, as a kid, I didn't know what the accent was. And I thought, I was like, it sounds like she's from Texas mixed with England.
Right.
Is what my first description of a South African accent.
Yeah. Anyways, this movie is...
It's garbage. It looks like absolute trash. The trailer looks like absolute trash.
Right.
But it's not for you. It's for children.
Okay, but it's very serious.
Are you guys big Doolittle heads? Is that what happens?
It has a very serious vibe to it. Like, it starts with, like, really dramatic, like, sweeping shots and...
Yeah, dramatic Louis Armstrong, It's a Wonderful World is not... That's when you know a movie's going to be terrible.
That was like, terrible attempt. My first
attempt. Trying to do sense, hey guys, it's me.
But it's not that song in its normal presentation. It is the like echoey version where it's like
the Facebook movie, whatever that was called, Social Network.
Yes,
right. You know, there were so many things in it that were very odd. I just can't stand the polar bear wearing a knit cap.
Why? What's
I don't
wrong
know.
With that?
It's That's fucking adorable. Dumb. Fucking stupid.
Are you guys angry that it includes animals that will be extinct within our lifetime?
Here's what I'm angry about. It cost $175 million to make.
Jesus.
They spent a Marvel movie's worth of budget on this movie.
It's like you guys don't live in Los Angeles.
I live in the Valley.
It's made by the guy who wrote and directed Syriana. And who wrote Traffic? Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And he had to be replaced halfway through because apparently he was...
The animals were attacking Dr. Doolittle and killing him.
I hear David Simon wrote the original script.
Yeah, a lot of the imagery... I mean, it's one of those things. It's a hard needle to thread with Dr. Doolittle movies, I feel like, because it has to almost be fully cartoonish for it to not sort of start veering into the absolutely absurd.
I think that's what we're responding to. Is it's like if you made Flipper a
dramatic
film where like Flipper was a trained assassin. Like that's what this trailer feels like.
Imagine Red Sparrow mixed with Flipper.
Right, exactly. It's just
Red Tide.
Yeah.
That's actually, I mean, there was a time when the CIA was trying to do that. Not the CIA. It was like some...
The Russian intelligence.
There was some intelligence agency that was trying to train dolphins to do.
I think the Germans, I think everybody was basically like, I don't know, fucking get these sea dogs to do shit.
We have billions of dollars. We might as well do whatever the fuck we want.
They tried to do it with cats. It was called Operation Acoustic Kitty, and it did not go well.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, to do what?
I think they were bomb-carrying cats, but...
Oh, my God.
There's a reason they were cat spies. They were cats with recording devices hooked up.
Oh, got it.
And that's why it was Acoustic Kitty, and there's a reason that... herding cats is something that's a saying for something that's impossible.
Oh, well, I mean, they should have just got Dr. Doolittle because he could have just had the cats back and say, what did you hear?
Oh, my God. Right. There's your gritty remake of Doolittle getting animals to
that
do
makes
black
so much
ops.
Sense.
Right.
That would actually be interesting to see Doolittle in the modern world, but this is just like Doolittle in Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's like vaguely Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, that would be great. Like a series of Homeland type shit,
like
but
gritty,
Doolittle.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
What's the Disney? Is that the who's
so
who's,
in
who,
conclusion?
Who has
Disney,
the rights to this?
Disney.
You should
contact
pay us.
Me.
Yeah.
Yes. This is the second winner of a movie idea that we've come up with in the past three episodes.
It's a free punch up.
Yeah. The Nightmare on Elm Street, but it's people who get too high is the other
right.
really
and
good idea.
Right, and then their panic brings on Freddy Krueger to fuck them up.
So it's like how high plus.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, too high.
Yeah.
How high. Anyways, God. Andy.
We're just cranking out that.
I know. It's been so fun having you, man. Where can people
Thanks, guys.
Find you, follow you, hear you?
Oh, of course, on all social media at Andy Beckerman. We're label mates, guys.
Yeah.
We have a podcast here on this very network called Couples Therapy, me and my dear common law wife, Naomi, where we take the best sets from our live show, Couples Therapy, where we have comics who are close do sets together about their relationship. We bring them to you. Then we also talk about our relationship and other things like encountering coyotes. With our sweet new dear Mabel, who you heard chewing in the background.
Mm-hmm. Oh, such a sweet animal.
And what else recently happened? We went to Solvang.
Love Solvang.
I really undersold.
No, you guys have
got a new guest.
We have wonderful guests. We talk about relationships.
Yeah,
and
hearing the relationships between comedians is also fantastic.
If you like live comedy, and this is not just like hearing people go up and do their material, you're hearing like improvisers and comedians go up and do what is
just
like
vibe.
Yeah,
Nicole
it's like
Byer,
a new
Sashir Zameda,
right?
Andy Kindler,
and be funny on stage with one another, like
Rachel
interacting
Bloom.
Off of one another. Yeah. It's
Orange is the New Black's Danielle Brooks.
Yes, it's so good.
The list keeps the list goes on and on.
And Andy, is there a tweet or other work of social media that you've been enjoying?
Yes. So most of the stuff that I like happens to be pictures, but I like this is a comedian and pal Dan Wilber at Dan Wilber. He said. This is a couple days ago. I don't understand why AOC would pay $300 for a haircut when every man criticizing her would cut it for free as long as they got to keep the hair.
That's so good.
That made me laugh a lot.
That is great. Miles, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, man. Tweets,
you're so
Twitter.
Smart.
Find me on Instagram on that other one, Twitter, at Miles of Gray. A tweet that I like. Actually, shout out to ATL Prince of Wales and at Shivani Lee because we were talking about drive-thrus and the impact that they have on like urban spaces, and you hipped me to some knowledge. So I will consider that actually. It does make sense because yes, we are not properly using the land. Okay, now. For a couple of tweets I like, this one is from Blair Saki, at Blair Saki. I have not been sleeping well for a while, so this really resonated with me. It says, I love how companies are like, if you buy this mattress, you will finally be able to sleep. Like, I'm sure, Casper, does it come with a new brain, bitch?
You were really doing Blair's cadence too.
100%. I mean, if Blair knows anything, I've mastered her tone and cadence.
Miles's career can really be seen as one long audition for the Blair Saki
Lifetime film.
Biopic. Yeah.
When you do your SNL audition, are you going to do Blair?
Blair Saki,
this is Blair Saki. This is Blair Saki who just tried out before me.
Yes. I like him.
Parker at Allergic to Sex tweeted, "Hey TSA, how are you going to take my toothpaste? Because it's quote too big, but let me board with all this ass."
I saw that. That's funny.
And the AV Club tweeted, "Neil Patrick Harris might jack into hashtag The Matrix 4. And Dylan Galula tweeted, "I see now that this says jack in to Matrix 4. Ignore my voicemail." She thought it said jack off to Matrix 4. Miles.
I wasn't listening. I was talking to Dan through the glass. I'm sorry.
Were you telling him to cut all this?
Yeah, I was like, he's doing it again.
I mean, everyone's going to jack off
call
to
his
Matrix
doctor.
4.
Yeah.
So that's not news.
Who's not going to jack off to Matrix 4?
Merovingians? Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
They're hot.
I looked them up. They're like, they were French kings, like Christian kings. I'm like, what does this have to do with? How am I going to figure out the Matrix?
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Maza, what's that going to be today?
This is a duo from South London who they basically, their whole like writing process is them just sort of like improvising in the studio, and then they will sample the shit they were just riffing on to create entirely new tracks. It's a really it makes their music like very deep. They're called Vess, but they're spelled V-E-S-C-E. And this track is called Zender, Z-E-N-D-E-R. And it's fucking vibey. It's just really interesting to think that like that's their sort of creative style, their production style. So check this one out.
Hell yeah. It's like if Reggie Watts had somebody to like go off of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's fine with his losing cover.
He does all right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with coverage of the Democratic debate and more tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.